get me smiling. Ooh, no matter what you do, be the Taylor Swift, Marilyn Manson, you're the kind of friend worth having. When I'm feeling down, you're the one I call, and it's problem solved. Yeah, it's problem solved. Ooh.
Let's start solving problems.
Okay. Should we say like hello and everything? I don't know.
That's usually it. Starts from the very beginning. Let's just say hello.
Okay. Hi, guys. Welcome to the latest and greatest episode of Problem Solved.
Woohoo. And if you skipped through the first 3 minutes of the intro song, I don't blame you.
Oh, stop it. I probably will have made it shorter by then.
You said that last time.
I did make it shorter, I think.
You did?
A lot has happened since then. I'm not sure. If you heard 3 seconds of the song and you're mad because you actually like the song, that's on Rebecca. Okay, so first of all, I need to clear the air about you were on another podcast.
I know, I was. And I have more coming. Are you upset?
I'm very upset. I feel like you're cheating on me publicly. Like you're just throwing it in my face.
I mean, if you're gonna cheat, isn't it better to do it publicly?
I guess so. It feels like overconfident. Like, what if I did Problem Solved with somebody else? Wouldn't you have a problem with that?
Well, you tried. You tried to hire someone before I'd even quit.
You
do you remember that?
You did a soft quit, and so I was just getting my ducks in a row. You would have done the same thing.
Right, yeah. Go find the episode. I don't know what Problem Solved episode. We've already discussed this. We're already over it, as you can tell.
Clearly, since we're still talking about it.
I've forgiven you. What was the original question?
My problem was that you are going on a bunch of podcasts and then talking about how, oh, they think I'm so funny. You are so funny, though. And it made
me
think.
That's a compliment.
It is a compliment. The very first couple words, and I was just thinking, I'm so sad that I deleted them, but I felt like you probably wouldn't want everybody to hear those. But now that I know you, you would have been fine with it. Do you remember the first conversation we had before we were even recording?
Yes, about my Diva cup.
It was stuck.
It was stuck. My Diva cup was stuck in my body.
Those were our first, like, hi, this is Emily. Hi, this is Rebecca. I have got a foreign object lodged in my vajayjay. Oh, so nice to meet you. Would you like to reschedule?
It was not quite that abrupt. I think you asked, how is your day going? And then that's all I could think of is that for the past hour, I've been trying to dig my Diva cup out of me.
Okay. I'm so sorry. That would be much less abrupt at an introduction. I'm digging things out of orifices. How's your day?
This is my first time using it. I tell you that I'm much better at getting it out now than I was that day.
I just thought, I immediately was like, okay, she's my favorite.
That was our very first conversation.
We were 37 seconds in.
I'm so sorry.
No, I love it. I love it. So
you
anyway,
deleted that record, that part? That's too bad.
I did. I deleted it because I was like, well, that's a lot of information.
Now it would be pretty funny.
Okay, so because this whole situation is called the Struggle Well Project, and I'm realizing, I don't know, probably we talk about struggling well, but I thought maybe it'd be good and kind of on brand if we talked about ways that we were particularly struggling well. Like, where have we had perspective changes? Yes?
So we're just not solving all the struggles. We actually have to have them now?
Well, I mean, we usually have them, but I don't know if we, like, talk about how we're struggling well instead of just struggling. I don't know. I just feel like we don't exactly explicitly state that. It feels like we should.
It's true, because this is part of the Struggle Well Project.
It kind of is. Anyway, so what are you struggling well with lately?
Well, I think if anyone follows me on Instagram, then you all see my 4-minute workouts. Have you seen those?
I have. You move very fast.
Well, that's a timer. I know. You know.
I'm so impressed.
Thank you. Yes. You can, too, move as fast as I do.
So there are 4 minutes.
Yeah. So, okay, here's the deal is I feel like I don't have time to work out, but mm-hmm. I know that I need to, and I know my body needs to. My heart needs to pump faster than it does mm-hmm. when I sit at a computer all day. But I do not have time to work out. I literally just don't. And then Elisa Keaton, she challenged me to 7 days in a row of movement. And
not Elisa. She is constantly challenging people.
She is. And
she
I knew my time was coming.
Failed. Failed I hard.
Well, she would tell you you didn't fail because you moved.
Of course. Of course. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
she's the wonderfulest, wonderfulest.
She is.
So she asked me how many minutes do you have a day? And I was like, I want to say four, but I can probably figure out 20. And then she's like, no, let's do four. I was like, really? Like that's enough. That's okay.
That's
and
so
I
good.
Moved for 4 minutes. I didn't make the 7 days in a row, but I did maybe four or five of them, the little workout she sent me. And I felt so good.
Hold it. She sent you 4 minute workouts?
Yeah. She told me what to do. Like squat for 20 seconds, then rest, then do 20 seconds of jumping jacks, then rest.
I love it.
One time she told me to run up and down my steps while my kids throw stuffed animals at me.
That is so fun.
She was really fun with it. So, but I felt so good. I was like, Elisa, I can't believe that I feel this good after just 4 minutes. I didn't think that would do anything.
Yeah.
So I'm continuing. I'm trying for 100 days for the next 100 days to see how many days I can move for 4 minutes. Really fast, really sweaty, really hard 4 minutes.
And do you do the same exercises over and over? Like every day is the same thing? Or how does that work?
I kind of rotate between jumping jacks, running super fast in place, like, you know, squats. I'm trying to look up some new ones because I'm getting bored. But I also, it has to be okay. Elisa told me I have to fight the thought that what I'm doing is not enough because it is. And if it's feeling good and I'm feeling sore, which is really embarrassing that I'm feeling sore after 4 minutes.
No, it's not. You have to start somewhere.
But then it's, yeah, but it's good.
I love
that
it.
Is my perspective shift is that it doesn't have to be an even 20 minute workout. It can be four tiny little minutes.
I really like that. Because honestly, very honestly, 20 minutes, I can probably do like 7 minutes and then I'm feeling over it.
Yeah, I know. I hate working out. It's so boring. I have so many things to do.
Yeah, that's what I think is there's just so much to do. And working out, then I just have to take a shower too. Just
right.
Adding.
And with 4 minutes, you don't really have to take a shower. You do get sweaty, but it's not terrible.
Good. I like it. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
When was the last time that you ate a breakfast that you felt good about? Breakfast can be really hectic. Getting out the door on time is close to impossible. The other day, I left for work without my shoes weren't even on because I was running so late. It's ridiculous. I've talked about this before, but I really love Daily Harvest, and they make my breakfast happen and be healthy at the same time. It's ready in 5 minutes max. You have real fruits and vegetables. So how it works is Daily Harvest delivers carefully sourced smoothies. You can get overnight oats. They have savory bowls. It's all built around fruits and vegetables. Everything stays fresh in your freezer until you're ready to eat it. And they have more than 50 nourishing options. The best part is that each serving sized cup takes one step to prepare. You just add water or milk to a smoothie and you heat up a harvest bowl. They have a coconut chai smoothie that is still one of my very favorites. Daily Harvest is the easiest, most delicious way to load up on fruits and vegetables first thing in the morning. You can also do it before bed or any time in between. They are not going to boss you around about when you eat their stuff. You just are going to want to eat it all the time because Daily Harvest stuff is so good. So go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code SWP for 3 cups free in your first box. That's promo code SWP for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. daily-harvest.com. Okay, so since I am working and since I am in school, I have not been able to cook. We had talked about this a little bit, but I really also, I was just eating a lot of cheese and crackers and it was not the best plan.
Yeah.
So I started going to a place that's local. I don't know, maybe it's all over the country, but they already have meals made and they're like balanced or whatever. And so I'm going to get those. They're not
super cheap, but they're not incredibly expensive. I'm trying to get, I get like the cheaper end ones of them. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I get those for like 5 days, lunch and dinner for myself because my husband doesn't, he makes his own stuff. He's fine eating the same thing every day. Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
Yeah.
That makes me sad. Anyway, but then a lot of times I feel bad for leaving my kids. Like, I feel like I should get them, you know, these meals, but they would hate them and they wouldn't eat them and it would be a fight and a waste of money. And so basically I'm just letting them eat the things they want to eat and having them add fruits and vegetables to it and not cooking and not feeling like a failure because of it.
That's awesome. That's big for you.
It really is big for me.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
How much on average are the meals?
Maybe like $7 or $8. But since I'm not getting breakfast, and I'm also not adding to the grocery list, like, but
right,
and they're really, really yummy, and I have lost a little bit of weight from just eating those.
Mm-hmm. Are they quick too?
You just microwave them for a minute.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's called Snap Kitchen. I don't know if you have it around you, but I really like it.
I'm gonna look it up. I mean, that's not. I maybe you know this, and I'm on this like weird $20 a day grocery budget.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
So it doesn't fit into that right now. But as soon as I'm off of that, then I'm going to try something because I do the same thing, just like cheese and crackers, something quick. I need quick, which yeah. We've talked about this. This is not the episode to get into this. I'm proud of you is what I'm trying to say. And I wish I could do that right now.
Thanks. It's been helpful. The other thing, though, is I know this sounds, I'm going to take it out. Take that out, Rachel. Take it out.
No, don't take it out, Rachel. Leave it in.
I guess I do deserve that. But I have somebody coming to clean my house, and it feels so bad to me to have somebody come clean my house. But I do work while she's there. And
Emily, why do you feel bad? Rachel, you have to keep this in because so many people would relate to this. Why do you feel bad?
I feel so fancy. It feels like I feel like I'm too good to do my own floors. But the fact is there's like not enough time in my day. I'm doing homework. I'm doing laundry. I'm doing all kinds of stuff while she's cleaning. I'm also doing stuff that she's not going to do. Gosh. Do you know what I mean? But I still feel like Paris Hilton. I don't, no offense, Paris. I think you're great. Just kidding.
I don't. Well, you don't have a dog like she does. Although you do have a designer dog. I would be more embarrassed about the designer dog than I would be about the house cleaner.
Oh, okay, the designer dog is so that there's not hair everywhere. It's not because I want to be...
Why do you need a house?
Oh my gosh.
I think you need to feel good about having a housekeeper. She's helping you. You couldn't do it without her. You're not fancy. She needs a job too.
She does need a job too.
That's her livelihood. If everyone who could hire a housekeeper didn't because they were too prideful, then they would not make a living for themselves.
That's true. I don't know. Usually I have her come when I'm not at home because I feel so embarrassed. Like I don't even want to make eye contact with her because I'm like, I'm so sorry that I'm too fancy to do this. But I'm not fancy. There's not a way that I could do more in my day.
I guarantee that she does not think of you like that.
Yeah. So I don't know if I told you when we lived in China, we had a housekeeper.
Okay, but you didn't feel bad about that?
It was culturally, everybody did that. So okay. It felt more regular, you know?
Sure.
But she kept cleaning the walls with the toilet bowl brush. And I kept telling her in what little Chinese I know, because I know how to say, you can't do that. I learned how to say it just for her in the toilet bowl brush. Bu kui, you may not. Do that. She kept doing it. So I just bought her a toilet bowl brush that I never put in the toilet so she could clean the walls.
That seems so inefficient to use that tiny little brush to clean a wall.
Well, and no, why
doesn't
on
a washcloth seem like it could cover more surface area?
And why are you cleaning the walls every time? The walls are fine.
I need her to come clean my walls.
Anyway, that was like my first experience with a house cleaner. Okay, let's solve some technology problems.
Let's do it. All right, I got three categories.
Okay.
Technology for kids, how to handle that.
Yes.
Like, self-explanatory. Technology for us, how we handle mostly social media, I'd say, is kind of where that fell.
Okay.
And then digital photos was a big question for a third category. Do you have any that don't fit into those?
I have one in each of those, I believe. It's great. Perfect. So let's start with technology for kids. And can I share some facts? Because I know you like those so much.
Oh, I'm so excited you have these. Yes, go.
Okay, so interestingly, in Silicon Valley, the people who are making all the apps, they don't want their kids to be on phones or any screens at all.
The first I heard that was with Steve Jobs, that his kids weren't on screens.
Yes.
That's eye-opening.
It is. In fact, Microsoft did some research, and they found that as a result of technology, our attention span is now shorter than a goldfish.
Oh, man.
They have a 9-second attention span, and ours is now 8.
Wow. Congratulations to the goldfish. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you win. Go to college.
Wow.
Because we can't anymore.
Because we can't.
Okay, so they have, in Silicon Valley, they're anti-tech. People are even super cracking down on the nannies of these people. There's, like, people spying on nannies in the playgrounds and stuff to make sure that they aren't on their phones at all. And then they're posting them to, like, these forums and taking pictures of the nannies on their phone and saying, is this your nanny?
Oh,
it's like a whole
goodness.
Thing now. People are even saying, oh, well, she pushed my child in a stroller past a storefront that had screens in the store.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Totally ridiculous.
These are the people who are creating apps. This is the same area, you said, that is happening?
Yes. They're called nanny narcs.
How can those people, like, go to work and feel good about what they're creating when they don't even believe in it for their own children?
I don't. I mean, you gotta bring home that bacon.
Yeah, I guess so.
Anyhow, so I thought that was interesting. Those are really all my facts.
Those are all okay. Well, that was good.
Wasn't as bad as you thought.
No, it wasn't.
So Mother's Day is on May 12th. Do you have any special plans? I'm confident that my family is planning something absolutely astronomical for me to surprise me. I can't wait to see. Will it be a cruise? Will it be a flight to Europe? Definitely will not be either one of those things, but probably breakfast in bed, and that will be just fabulous. If you are still looking for that perfect Mother's Day gift, you've got to check out Canvas People. Canvas People is going to print your favorite memories on canvas, turn them into unique works of art to add a beautiful touch to your home or really anybody's home. So here in Texas, the blue bonnets are a really big deal to get your pictures taken with them. And I got a really great picture, a family picture at the blue bonnets. And just this week, I ordered a giant canvas from Canvas People. And I can't wait for it to come. It should be here next week. So if you have still not tried Canvas People for some reason, right now there's a special limited Mother's Day offer. CanvasPeople.com is offering their popular 11 by 14 photo canvases for free. That's right, completely free. These normally sell for $69.99, but for this week only, you're going to pay nothing. Just cover the shipping. To get your free canvas, text SWP to 484848. Just pay shipping. This offer is not going to last. You just text SWP to 484848. That's SWP to 484848. Message and data rates may apply.
Well, then let's just get into it. So let's start with when to give a child a smartphone.
I read online that one mom says the last kid in the class without a smartphone wins. So she's trying to make her kid a winner.
That's genius. What if there was some, like, great prize in it for the kid, too? Like, my son would get a kick out of that. Like, if he got to pick a trip to, I don't know, Disneyland or something, if he was the last kid in the class to get a cell phone.
That's a fun idea.
I have to think about that.
Yeah, my daughter, she wants one, of course. My son wants one. I'm like, come on, you're like an infant.
Right.
You're not getting one.
He's a little older than that, but
he is a little older than infant, but I don't know when. Maybe junior high, but maybe a flip phone or something. I don't know. We haven't broached that. Do your kids have phones?
No, they don't. So my kids are 9, 8, and 5. And of course they ask for them. Jonah's my 9-year-old. When can I get one? I've seen on the internet the something by 8. It's a rhyming thing, but they're saying like eighth grade.
Oh, I thought you meant 8 years old. I'm like, no.
Oh, no, 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 no. Eighth grade.
Okay.
I feel like I would go further than eighth grade. I got a cell phone when I started driving, more for like safety reasons, but the cell phone was like ancient. It was, did not have internet capabilities and all of that. Neil and I were talking about it and he had the greatest perspective ever on it. Okay. He said, cyberspace is a space, you know, like it's a space where you send your kids. So if you would not feel comfortable sending your 10-year-old off to the park alone or off to this like unsupervised gathering party, let's just say, then he doesn't need access to cyberspace without boundaries and without your guidance and without you being there. Mm-hmm. So at what age would you feel somewhat comfortable sending your teenager off to a like gathering of friends that wasn't supervised? It's like, that's a really good way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Because it will change a little bit. So as he's like 12, maybe I send him to a birthday party where I know it's not like, here's the parents aren't organizing the games. It's more like a hangout, but there's boundaries around it. He's going to come home and I'm going to say, how was it? What did you do? Who did you talk to? Did anything make you uncomfortable? Whereas when he's 18, 17, 18, I may not question him as much, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was just, I felt like it was a really good way to look at it. I need to keep mulling over and how that practically will be implemented. But
yeah, all of our friends have like video games and all kinds of screens in the house. And I don't know, we're just not there yet. Not that that's a bad thing. And I honestly, I like knowing that my kids can go over to their friends' houses and I know the family. Like when we go to friends' houses, they can play Fortnite and whatever. And so they've got the ability to know how to talk about it. I don't want them to be the kid in school who is like, what's Fortnite? I don't want them to be lame. But I don't want it in my house. So I like that they can go play it somewhere else.
I will say I feel like I started the screens, the video games. I'm not going to talk about like watching ABCs on iPads. This is like video games. I think I started it too soon. In preschool, Jonah started talking about Skylanders. Have you heard about this?
Mm-mm.
And I was like, what is Skylanders? He was just talking about it all the time. And so I went to the Facebook and I said, someone explain to me Skylanders and is it an okay video game? And everyone is like, oh yeah, my 7-year-old plays it. My 8-year-old plays it. So I was like, oh great, let's start it. And my son, Jonah, just got addicted to it. Mm. And at the age of like preschool, like 5 or 6.
Okay.
And ever since then, we have been on this reining back in. I mean, we went on a 3-month fast of all screens for our whole family for a while. And now he only gets video games on the weekends for limited times just because he will always ask about it. And so I needed some strong boundaries. Like it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He knows the answer is going to be no. So he won't even ask, which is nice.
Yes.
But I wish I hadn't have started. I wish I hadn't have listened to everyone tell me that it was okay. And that I had waited to start any video game at all until, and I don't love the ones where you can chat with people. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, totally.
That you don't know. So the Skylanders, you can't chat. So that's what I like about that. It's just you and whoever's playing with you.
Okay. So something that I have done on accident, just from like working all the time now, is that usually all my surfaces in my house are cleaned off because of, you know,
your housekeeper.
Stop it. Because of just, I'd rather things be cleaned off. But we started having a puzzle out and I started letting my son leave out his Legos that he's building. And so our formal dining room is covered with Legos and a puzzle. I mean, it's still pretty organized because I'm still myself, but I can't believe how much of the time the four of us just sit around the table. Even like helping him with his Legos and stuff. It's really pretty fun. And so that has been really accidentally very good for us.
Yes, I think that's great. I've left a few things out and not intentionally told anyone about it just to see if they'll discover this like new game or this old game that they've forgotten about. it's been my like secret mission to attract them to other things, you know,
so
instead
good.
Of
yeah.
those things. I
That's
love
really
that.
Good.
That's such a good idea.
So some possible rules I looked up is no screen time until the chores are done and homework.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's pretty regular. We got into a thing recently where the kids would just like go in and start turning the TV on without any, it was just like the thing they did. They didn't ask or anything. And I'm like, mm-hmm. nope, we're putting the brakes on that. That's not how we are doing things. Because it wasn't ever that way before, but then you get a little loose with it and then you have to kind of rein it in. But yeah, they don't get to just turn it on whenever they want.
Yeah.
In one way, my daughter really wants to listen to a bunch of music, which is fine, but she loves like really loves rap. And I don't like rap, but it's not that I'm against rap. It's just a lot of the content is not great
sure.
words. So she listens to it on the television where in the living room where everybody can hear what's going on. And she's a lot more like careful.
Sure.
Which is good.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Reminds me of, another rule. Maybe you'll say this one, but we don't allow doors closed like when technology is going on. So doors open, and I really am trying to get in the habit of they don't keep any technology in their room at night, because I want that to be a habit even in their teenage years, that they charge their phones outside of their room for temptation, for all sorts of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is right now is that they love to listen to music to fall asleep. And so I need to get them like a Bluetooth speaker that we can still allow them to listen to music, but it's not in their room. Like the device is not in their room.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't gotten there yet.
You could even get those like noise that sounds like waves or something like that, where, I mean, I know music is nice, but if they just like noise on, there's a way, you know, that you don't even have
That's
to.
That's true.
Because some yeah. of it is just takes so darn long to get it programmed and get it charged. And I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being 100, but I feel like it just takes a long time to even get this technology ready to be used in a safe way. And I'm like, I don't even care about it.
Right. Yeah, so. It does.
Oh, man. Well, I think for us, I don't like technology in the bedroom at all.
Mm-hmm.
I like
for
to
you.
Make... Well.
Or for the whole family.
That's different.
Okay, we're still on kids. I didn't know if we had like transitioned.
No, all. But for the kids, like, I don't know. I think that yeah. they need to be doing it out in the open, like in the living room or in the kitchen or something. But I know that I'm definitely more restrictive than most people, so.
We do allow him to do it in his bedroom because I can't stand to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't allow him to wear headphones because I want to be able to hear, and I
yeah.
want him to know that someone can hear.
That's good.
So we let him do it in his bedroom, but the door has to be open. So it's in a high traffic area.
Yeah. I love it. It's tricky stuff, man.
It is. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about us and technology.
So, well, one problem that someone had, well, several someone's had this problem, is that they didn't know how to make their mothers stop making awkward comments on their social media.
That's a very specific problem.
Well, it's so funny. My grandma cracks me up. She will make comments like, I'll say something and she'll be like, too much information. It makes me laugh so hard. I don't know. I think if somebody says something, I just think it's funny. I don't.
I do too. I mean, I embrace it. I repost a lot of things my mom sends me in my DMs because they're so funny. And and I'm sure other people are thinking what she's saying. So
yeah.
Like, you guys it's aren't true. Alone. My mom thinks I'm dumb too.
It's totally true. So I don't know how you'd handle I mean, I guess just embrace it. I don't know. I don't know how
yeah,
awkward these comments are.
Sure. Right. Yeah. You don't have much of a choice. You got to let them comment.
Or you could block them, but then that's a whole, then you have to have a whole conversation about that.
Right. Yeah.
Or maybe yeah. don't. Maybe they won't realize they're blocked. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. You just got to let them comment and then ignore it or respond and embrace it and say something snarky. No, probably
Yeah. Say something awkward back.
I can't believe you had several someone send that one in.
I did. I really think if you turn the tables and you make awkward comments on their photos, then maybe they'll
yeah.
be like, why did you say that?
Give me an example of what you would think would be awkward. Because I don't even know that I can't think of anything that would be awkward. Oh, you did with the too much information. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, but I mean, I thought, well, yeah, that's like the story of my life. Too much information. I agree with that. My husband's constantly telling me that. I don't know what would be awkward. Because my mom is not on social media, so.
Yeah.
I get a win with that one. I get a pass.
My mom will, I'm outing my mom, which I did yesterday also on Instagram, but she says things. She mostly DMs me because I mostly am active in stories, so she can't post for the world to see. But I'll do something, like I post about our fireplace that we just got installed last winter, and she'll don't make sure they don't get too close. I'm like, yes, mom. Like,
oh, I see. Know,
things like that.
I
like,
see, yes.
Like, yeah, she'll constantly add her little 2 cents too.
Well, here's what I think that we need to remember. Those comments give us feelings because it's our family.
It's our mom. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Other people don't care, and other people probably aren't reading them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
I probably get so many awkward comments from people that aren't my mom that when my mom comments, I'm like, oh, that's so nice.
An awkward person I know. So sweet.
Yes, right.
And you can probably delete it, and they probably don't go back and read it.
For sure. Yeah.
And if they do read it and ask you about it, it's a great conversation. I deleted it because it was awkward.
It kind of hurt. Yeah. It kind of made me feel
weird.
It hurt
my feelings. Yeah. So I don't know. Let's
tell people how we really feel.
Let's be honest here. Okay. What else?
How do we get ourselves off our phones? Spend less time on social media, especially when it's, and I can relate to this, the quickest way for me to decompress or get some introverted time away from kids.
I can tell you that me starting work and starting school, it's been so good for my mental health. I am not doing much on Instagram. I love Instagram, but lately, if something happens or I want to tell a story, I just think, I don't know, maybe I'm going to just keep this to myself. Or maybe I'm going to, like, text my actual friend in real life. No offense, I've never met you, but I think you're great. And I text you, too. Perfect. But I mean, like, the wider audience. And it's been kind of funny to see my, like, engagement going down, down, down. And thinking, am I okay with this? I kind of feel like I am.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's weird.
Yes. I first of all would maybe question, because I'm an introvert and I feel like that's a great introvert thing for me to do, but I don't actually think it fills me up as an introvert the way that I think it does.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's interaction with other people, whether I'm responding to it or not. It's not truly like an introvert's way to refill.
You're right.
So I would just like caution her on that. But maybe she's not, maybe it's not actually decompressing her the way that she thinks it is. But I feel that way too. It's an escape for me, really. A lot of times when things are stressful, I just want to go lock myself in a closet and scroll Instagram. And I think that's okay for a little bit of time. You know,
yeah.
I think I'm also trying to find other hobbies.
Mm-hmm. You love decorating. I feel like you have hobbies.
I do, but then I like to share about them on Instagram.
And I don't think that's a bad thing. It's fun.
Yeah.
I think it's just so easy to get it backwards and think, I'm going to do this thing so I can share about it, instead of doing the thing and then going, oh my gosh, I would love to share about this. And I think for years, if I'm honest, I mean, I've been doing stuff online for like 7 years.
Yeah.
It's been backwards. And a lot of times I think, oh my gosh, I've got to come up with some content. But then this, the cart is before the horse. But in this case, I don't feel like it is lately. And I actually feel so happy. It's very strange.
Yeah.
In a good
way.
That's
great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Less time to think about it and less time to spend on it. So what you're actually putting out there is what you really want to.
Yeah.
But I think that's more from our perspective because we're content creators on the internet, where I think most people listening are more of a consumer.
That's true.
Not that either one is, I'm not saying a consumer is a bad, like, they're just different things we think about when we think about our time on social media.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There's definitely a lot of pressure there that we put on ourselves.
Do you remember when I did In the Quiet?
I do.
I've been really contemplating starting that again, although I don't feel like it would be as much, I don't know. I don't know if I need it or not, like I did back then. Okay. But I used to take the last week of every month off social media completely, consuming and creating anything. Mm-hmm. And just, I called it into the quiet. I put up an away message of mm-hmm. sorts, like saying, and I deleted it when I came back. But in case people were to come to my Instagram and wonder if I was okay, like they would know I'm just taking this week. And it was really awkward and hard. I remember for the first couple times, like, what do I do when I have 10 minutes to wait somewhere, you know, like I couldn't take out my phone. So what I did to prepare is I downloaded a Kindle book on my phone.
Yeah.
And then I got a real book from the library.
An old-fashioned one.
The old-fashioned one with the pages that you turn with your fingers. And audiobooks. Like, I think all of those to me were acceptable ways to use my phone during that week.
Yes.
And it was very restful, I remember. And very, like, grounded. I don't know how to...
Yeah.
How else to describe it? But it was like, I was, this around me is my life. This is what I have access to. And it was kind of cool. And then when I added it up, I think I was taking, 12 weeks off social media for the year. If I did 1 week every month, which was 3 months of the year that I was not on social media.
Yeah. So you think you're going to do that again, or you don't think?
I need to think about it. It's a different time in my life where that's my job in a way, is social media.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could get on just for my job, because my job is so integrated into my regular posts too. You know what I mean?
I do.
So I'm not quite sure what that would be, or if maybe I just take like a weekend, the last weekend of every month, or every weekend, or
I do see people do every weekend. That's what's been interesting about this, is going from like the podcast, and that was being my main source of income. Everything had to be, it was all about me. And there's so much pressure to be interesting and funny and all that stuff. So now that I am dealing with patients, and so much of that is, I mean, all of it is private and secret, you know, and against the law to share
it.
Then I have to really think about what do I want to share and what can I share? But I'm realizing stories bring me so much joy. I love making them. And so since I could zoom out and have a look at things, and I didn't have the pressure to put stuff out, I can realize, no, I really actually do love stories. They're so fun.
I do too. I think they're really fun. And whenever I feel the like, oh my gosh, what am I going to post about today? That's when I just need to take a step back and be like, I don't have to create anything. I really value being this is what's going on. I didn't record this ahead of time, or, you know, like this is the reality of the internet right now. I think people appreciate that.
Yes. But, agreed.
Yeah. So take some time off, decide, spend less time on it. Like, just create some weekends or some boundaries where you're not on it, and you have to find something else that will help you decompress, like decluttering or vacuuming,
or like, I don't planting know. Like flowers.
Planting flowers. There's something else out there, because there was something before social media came along that we went to. Now, we didn't have a bunch of gaggle of children at our feet, so maybe we need to ask the older generation what they did to decompress for like when things got stressful.
I think they'd go on walks or cook or something.
Drink. No. Okay. Stop. That was bad.
Rachel, play that several times in a row just so we can highlight that Rebecca said that. I have been so fascinated by finding new podcasts.
Yes. What have you found? Well, are you allowed to share? Is that like against your rules?
Against my rules? No, you just can't be on other podcasts. I can talk about whatever I want. No.
All right.
Okay. No Such Thing as a Fish. Fascinating podcast.
It's What's it about?
It's just about facts, which I know you probably wouldn't like that. No, but it's there's four people. They each bring a different fact, but they've all researched all of the four facts. And so they have really fascinating conversations around four different facts.
That's cool.
They're very funny, too. I've really loved Criminal. It's about criminals, but it's not like you would normally think. It's about it's fascinating. Look up Criminal.
Okay.
Those are really the only two. Some of the ones I'm listening to are, the content's great, but the language is terrible. So I hesitate to
suggest
those. But I really, those two, I feel comfortable suggesting.
Do you want to know some that I've been listening to, even though I'm not allowed to?
No, you're allowed to. You're allowed to listen to them. Just don't be on all the other ones.
Oh,
just
I can't be on them.
I don't care. Be on as many as you want, Rebecca.
Thank you for your permission. I have really been loving the Anatomy of Marriage podcast. Have you heard of this one?
I haven't.
It is really real.
Okay.
Like, they are a younger couple who almost got divorced and have learned a lot of things. He's a family and marriage therapist, too. Okay. So I feel like he brings some credibility in that way. But they're like, they kind of fight on their podcast, and it's just very real. Like, it's not, I just have really loved it. And I've learned a ton of good information, not even just for my marriage, but just some like growth mindset type stuff, you know?
Yes.
So that's a good one.
Okay.
I've recently discovered the Minimal-ish podcast.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I think it's a newer one. I'm going to be on it in a little bit. So I'm sorry about that.
Rebecca, blessings upon you and your podcast appearances.
All right. I won't bring it. I won't tease you about it anymore.
No, no, it's good. It's so good.
So I started listening to it before she reached out to me, which is kind of fun.
That is fun.
I really love decluttering, and so does she. So that should be fun.
What a good fit.
Those are the two that I'll mention right now, but I think you should definitely check out Anatomy of Marriage podcast.
That's great. Okay, so I have a question about storing photos. Do we talk
about
Yes. Yes.
Okay. No, but that's the third category.
Okay. Where do you put your pictures?
Okay, so we're talking about photos on my phone, right? Because who else has anything else, basically?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I take a bajillion. Let me see tell me how many photos you have in your phone. Open it up.
Oh, I have 9,600.
Oh, that's great. I have 21,721 photos.
Okay, can I tell you why? And I'm not proud of this. If there's a new phone, I'm gonna get it. So that's just because this is not that old of a phone.
That makes sense. Yeah. I am eligible for an upgrade. So this has been 2 full years of getting, but I'm sure I've actually deleted photos off my phone. Okay. So here's my process. I pay for Google Photos storage, and it automatically takes anything that I took a picture of and uploads it to the Google Photos cloud. So it backs it all up. So if I run out of storage on my phone, I never have to be afraid to delete anything because I know that it's backed up in Google Photos, and I can access Google Photos on my phone the same way I can access my photo albums, but even further back. So if I need to find a photo from 2014, I can just easily open Google Photos, scroll back to 2014 and find like the photo I'm looking for.
Okay.
I like that. I'm a little worried that maybe Google Photos isn't as secure as everyone thinks it is, but
why?
I saw some article about someone who worked in some sort of cloud service and said it's not as stable as we think it is. There will be an end to the cloud ability to store. You think about how much is stored in the cloud.
Yeah.
And what is the cloud? And is it going to burst and rain on us? And it just feels a little unnerving that that's all my photos are there and I don't have anything backed up on a hard drive outside of that.
Okay, but can I tell you, we have stuff backed up on a hard drive and it did not fall off of anything. It just literally fell over and it erased all of our pictures.
Shoot. See,
okay, so the hard drive is not, you just have to print them all out and then hope your house doesn't burn down.
Well, and I think that's actually part of it is I do need to print the best of the like more photos, not even the best of the best, because then I'm going to get anal and go through and like try to find the best of the best.
Yeah.
But think about like our grandparents or great grandparents had very few photos printed and they are so precious.
They are.
They used to
take pictures of dead people because they were so rare that they would sit up the dead person and open their eyes and take a picture. What? It's a thing.
Well, why couldn't they have taken that picture before they died?
They didn't know they were about to die. Sometimes death sneaks up on us, Rebecca.
I guess so, but just...
I don't know.
That's a lesson.
Everybody write that down. But someone wrote, it's so funny. My friend Amy said, what is the cloud? Where is it? Why do I have to pay for a cloud? Are my pictures floating?
I know. All the same questions.
So funny. I don't know. Yeah, I pay for a cloud every month. I don't. It's just easier than
trying to. Do we each have our own individual clouds? And
are they in heaven? I have my pictures in the Google and also at Shutterfly.
That's so you can print things, right? So you back up everything to Shutterfly and Google Photos?
Not on purpose. And somewhere it's just half and half. It's very willy-nilly. But I feel like I need to put them all in one place. But Google's the better place?
I think so. I would trust Google more than I would trust Shutterfly.
Okay.
Shutterfly is like a smaller company. Probably, that's first true. Of all, Google's like basically the universe.
Google's the universe. Good.
As big as Google is the universe.
How do you get rid of the ones that are extra, though?
I know. If I think about it too much, I don't love my system because I take screenshots all the time of things that I need to remember, or I take screenshots of text messages to like repost on Instagram stories. And I don't want to keep those forever, but I also don't want to go through and like select each one to delete. Every now and then Google Photos, I need to look into this a little more because they've, look right here. I've opened up Google Photos and clicked on Assistant. And it says, clear the clutter, archive screenshots from your library. So they've gathered 30 screenshots that I've taken and are suggesting that I archive them, which I don't know what archive means.
I'm seeing that. I need to archive
them. I need to learn a little more about it because it is a jumbled mess, but at least I know it's all there.
Yeah. Maybe I'm going to do that today. I'm getting to the bottom of this. I'm solving this problem.
Because I think it could be a good solution.
Yeah, I just archived 30 screenshots. Just like that.
Me too. Look at us.
Oh my goodness. We're solving our own problems. My goodness, this podcast is making a difference.
It really is.
Hey, so we got to go. Rachel doesn't want these to be so long.
Okay, sorry, Rachel. Gosh.
Poor Rachel. She's really been thrown around a lot lately.
I know.
Well, guys, I hope that we've solved all your problems. We'll let you know how Google works out for us. Google Photos. Send us some, what do you call them? Instant messages. Direct messages. On Instagram. I know. What? Tell us what you use for photos is basically what I was trying to say there. Okay. Do you have any closing thoughts?
No. Mm-mm. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Ooh, you always seem to get me smiling. Ooh, no matter what you do, be the Taylor Swift.